But for the next few weeks, we're going to be in this message series titled Walk This Way. And I think it's really important that it's a refresher course for some, and for others, it's a new beginning. And when we walk this way, it's all sorts of different ways to walk in the Word of God, meaning not all different ways to walk. Sorry, I need to take a breath. My wife is out this morning. She's a hoot. Let me tell you, her daughter went away over the weekend, okay? And so her daughter is her pride and joy. I had no idea the connection between a mom and a daughter, all right? So I heard a yes. That's yes. All the women who have daughters, like, yes. Some of you ladies that don't have daughters, you got boys, and I guess they just beat you up. But my boys do beat my mom and my wife up. But man, my wife's a different person, and in a good way. But it was like stressed to the max last night because her flight was canceled. My daughter's flight was canceled. So at like midnight, my wife's like pacing. Like, what am I going to do? And I'm like, I got to preach tomorrow. Like, you got to go to bed. And so anyway, so I'm gonna take a step here and just breathe for a second. Get my thoughts correct here because, last night was crazy. All right, here we go. We're talking about a message series titled Walk This Way. We're going to talk about a different way of thinking at times. And for this morning, we're going to talk about walking in His truth. And that is so important. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about walking in faith. We're going to be talking about walking with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about walking all sorts of different ways, as a Christian should, but it's all one way and it's one direction, and that's towards Jesus Christ, and that's what it's about. His word is truth, and for some of us in this room, you may actually believe the Bible 50%. Some of you in this room may believe in the Bible 20%. Some of you 100%. Some of us have maybe a kind of a different thought of what does the word of God look like? Because when I say walk this way and we're going to walk in His truth is His word. Now, for some people are like, I don't understand this. Okay, this Bible, I believe 110%, and it's not possible, so 100%, that this Bible is truth, okay? I believe this is His word. He ordained it. He saw fit to make sure that every word in here is in perfect order. I also believe that there's the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is also speaking to us His words, all right? We have discernment that He is speaking to us. So there's a encapsulated truth that takes place here. His word does not contradict this word, and this word doesn't contradict His word. Everyone understand that? Okay, beautiful. So understand that this Bible is truth. I was being interviewed by a newspaper years and years ago, and they were asking about our church, and I said, oh, yeah, our church is great. I said, we believe in the Bible from front to back, man, we believe it all. We believe, you know, Samson tied torches to foxes' tails, sent them through the field. We believe that Noah built a giant big boat and all these different things. And she just looked at me very puzzled, and she goes, I admire your ability to believe in that book. And I go, so I guess you don't. She goes, no, I can't believe in something like that. I go, well, if you begin to walk in this truth, you would begin to understand that it is 100% true. You would begin to believe and understand this is it. You just haven't chosen, and you just haven't begun to walk in this way. So we're going to talk about it, how we're going to walk in this way, okay? So here we go. So it requires a genuine commitment. That's what it is. To walk this way in His truth, it requires a genuine commitment to live by God's teachings and principles, every aspect of it, not just little sprinkles of it, all of it. And so for you, you may say, well, what's the absolute benefit right now? The absolute benefit is that you're going to learn how to respond in situations instead of reacting. There's a preparation. Okay, there's a knowing in His word. You've been reading it. You've been studying it. It is the best thing on this planet. That's it. You realize this is the most important thing. I'm not looking for sympathy for the story I'm about to tell right now, but I would really love for all of you just to understand what I'm about to say. Years ago, I had you know, I was getting phone calls and text messages being a pastor, and you just, and I don't care. You can text me. If you have my cell phone number, text me, okay? Call me. I don't care what time of the night. Email me if you got it. Call the church. Whatever you need, make it happen. But I was getting pulled every which way with counseling, and it was becoming overwhelming because it was like, hold on, I can't just counsel everybody any time of the day. So at 9 o'clock at night, I was like, I can't do this. It's too much. So I was getting pulled. And so we made a decision that I was only going to counsel now from, you know, unless special occurrences, and it happens, but from 9 to 5. And that's just my counseling sessions. And it's, you know, and it's through the week. And I can't just meet you on a Saturday. It's too difficult. And so I had an individual say, well, who do you think you are? I go, I'm not for sure why you asked a question like this. I said, I'm a pastor. And I said, but I'm having office hours. I have to have office hours, just like any physician out there. And so they laughed and mocked, and they go, you're no doctor. I go, wow. I said, no, I'm no doctor. I admit that 100%. But people go to hell. And then they just looked at me puzzled, and I go, you need to realize that there is a heaviness to a position that I do hold, that I don't just prepare a sermon on Sunday with just whimsical preparation. Oh, I think I'll just talk about this today. No, there is prayer, there is studying in His Word, there's a, I want to know what the Word of God says, the Holy Spirit. There's a preparation of this. This isn't just something you just come in here and say, but maybe. I hope Jared hears it this morning. I hope Josh gets it. Boy, Heather and Terrence, you know, they're just here for the fun of it. No, this is a lifestyle. This is a genuine commitment to His Word of God to say it is true, it is absolute. No, I am no doctor, and no, I am no lawyer in New York City. But I'm fighting a case right now that deals with hell. And that's eternity. And that's real. And people who look at the Word of God with a sense of take it or leave it, of doesn't, it kind of matters, sometimes when it's convenient, you treat it with contempt, you're just kind of like, meh. So in my own position as a pastor, here is this individual who was sitting there going, who do you think you are? And I go, well, I'm nobody. I'm not trying to put myself above anyone in any way, shape, or form, but I do realize that I have to keep boundaries, and when inside of those boundaries, I have a responsibility to point people to this Word. So actually, there is some heaviness to this, and it shouldn't just be treated in a way of just toss it to the side. There's a responsibility to this. So this individual was a little special in a sense of it wasn't like they were committed to Christ, so they didn't understand it. So I walked with love with them, and I met with them multiple times outside of this. Outside of my 5 o'clock reference. But the point being is the commitment to God's Word, a commitment to, I'm going to follow this to the 10th degree. I'm going to go the distance, and I'm going to make this everything that I want it to be. I want to get into the Word. I don't want to just treat this with contempt. I want this, all of it. Sadly, and this is the point of the story, sadly, this individual was treating the genuine commitment more to a church on Sunday and church on Sunday, and church on Sunday. And it was sad because it wasn't a commitment. And it was, and I mentioned this last week in my message, but it was a medicine cabinet thing. And it's when I'm hurting and I need this individual. I need this pastor anytime I want. He's more connected to Jesus than I am. My prayers don't go faster to Jesus. I wish. I'm going to be awesome. My prayers are the same speed of light as yours. My prayers are just as heavy and weighted as yours. I have the same problems you have. The difference is that I have been asked by God, I believe this with my whole heart, to be a pastor and to carry this. And there is a different judgment upon the heaviness of my words. So I don't treat this with contempt because this is life and death. So when you begin to compartmentalize this whole, like, church on Sundays and that's about it, and, you know, you start falling into ditches and you can't get out of them. Because back to the point of this, I made the comment, I said, hey, God's got you. They said, right. I go, okay, God's got you. God's going to take care of you. Right, okay. So I got a phone call. I didn't answer. I couldn't answer, actually. It was like a ring. I saw it, and then it went out. Like, my signal was out. And so I was like, oh, they were calling. Okay. And I tried to call back. Didn't happen. Couldn't get through. I forgot. I'm human. A couple weeks go by, a couple months go by, and I just completely forgot about the phone call. Haven't seen him in a while. Do you guys know that I can only see, just right now with these lights, I can see Cameron and Ligon. I can see you guys, but past you, it kind of gets a little fuzzy. Dan and Mary, Dan's a tall dude. I can see Dan. That's a given. Past that, I can't see anyone back. You guys look like blurs, all right? I don't know who shows up here on Sunday. I don't. I really don't. And half the time, I'll even say, I'll go to the meeting and I'll go, hey, did you guys see such and such? And they'll say, yeah. And I'll go, oh, I haven't seen them forever. Yeah, they're here every Sunday. Oh, okay, great, good, good. Here it goes. I'm wrapping this up because you're like, man, where's this guy going? Follow me. This individual had put their trust, their truth in me. They needed me to answer the phone for them all the time, as if I was the connection to them, to Christ. They put me on a pedestal. Maybe Josh will tell me, as if I'm his word, as if I'm his truth. So when I told him, hey, God's got you, and then I didn't answer, I ran into them a few months later. And I said, hey, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in a while. I just remembered this. And they looked at me and they said, I don't have time for you. And I go, what happened? And they said, I can't go to a church where a pastor doesn't have time for his congregants. I go, what are you talking about? I said, I'll meet you anytime. Oh, no, you've got a schedule. I go, right, because I got a family. Because my family is way more important than all of you. I love you all, but that kid right there in the middle, the curly, weird-looking one, I will drop you in a heartbeat over that kid. So I have a family. But the difference is you can't put your truth in man. You can't put this knowledge that I carry. See, that's what happened with Catholicism for years. Only I can bring the word. They didn't even have Bibles. They wouldn't even give you the Bible to learn. It was like against the law. So for years, they wouldn't even let you study this out. Now you can. This is before you. Truth isn't found in me. Truth's in him. I know that was, you guys were all like, that was the longest story ever. I needed you to walk with it through me because it still stings a little bit because I don't want to hurt your walk. I don't want to be that person. But there needs to be an understanding, a switch flipped, that this is God's word, not this. I'm not your vessel. I can't carry the word of God for you. I wish that it was, I wish I was that cool. Man, would that be awesome, but I'm not. So it's important that you understand that truth involves living in a way that reflects God's love. You. Living in God's truth reflects God's love, grace, and truth to those all around you. That's your responsibility. As a Christian, we make that stance. This is it. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So I believe, with no question, Jesus Christ is the truth. I don't care. Jesus Christ is the truth. My freshman year of college, I had an atheist that was across the dorm from me and my Jewish friend across the other dorm, and we were all in my friend's room, and one night, 3 o'clock in the morning, they're browbeating me to death. Jesus is real. And I said, yeah, man, Jesus is real. They just kept at it. Come on, don't you believe maybe that it was a little made up? Or don't you believe? And I go, no, 100% Jesus is real, for an hour plus just beating me to death. Come on, don't you think just maybe, just think just possibly? No, not at all. And then at the very end, they looked at me and they go, wow. They go, I give it to you. They said, this is impressive. You didn't question it once. And I said, no, not once. And it was that moment, even in my own testing with it, I thought, I'll never question it. I will never question it. The reason why the world looks so crazy, and I've said this before, and my wife always questions, she always says, I don't know if I really like how you phrase this, but I have to phrase this. The reason why there's nothing wrong with sin, because in the world of sin, it's because they don't believe in the truth. They don't believe in the Bible. So for us Christians, when we watch the news and we watch all these reports and you're like, I can't believe it. And you're like, why not? If they don't have the truth, then sin's okay. To them, it's all right. I love it when people are like, I can't believe Brad Pitt's getting divorced again. Like everyone's always blown away by celebrities. Oh, I just can't believe it. Kim Kardashian. And you're like, really? I can. You don't believe in the truth, the word of God. Like, you're like, what? You're so blown away. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so you have to know this. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. This is key. Who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. See? It's not looking for him. They have no idea. People always question, are you sure God's real? The reason why they ask that type of question, because they ain't looking for him. They don't care. So the minute they start looking for him, and the beginning they start searching out and saying, I want to know who God is. You're going to encounter him, okay? So it says, he is, and here we go. I love it. Man, I love it. Verse 17, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now, and this is key, and later will be in you. The church has done a horrible job at separating salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit work hand in hand. Well, I don't have time to go on that this morning, but it's important that you recognize that in John, it is quoted, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. That's important. Why is that important? Because that helps you to know his truth. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, he's telling you his truth. In Psalm 119:81, it says, I am worn out waiting for your rescue, but I have put my hope in your word. It's important. David, all of Psalm 119, study that, love it. It's the best. All right? It's like, it's the chapter with the most verses. It's beautiful. But here you read, I am worn out waiting for your rescue. You know, Jesus said, hey, take heart. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have hardships. It's tough. This world, it's rough. But guess what? I've overcome this world. So he's telling you. And we also know in John chapter 1, Jesus is the Word. So when you focus in on Jesus, then what's beautiful is that during those trials and tribulations, you put hope in his Word. So it's not a moment of reaction. It's preparation of knowing his Word and going, I know how to actually respond in this moment. I know how I'm supposed to act. Because if I react, what's going to happen is it's going to explode. You could do a knee-jerk reaction and mess up. If you're married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. How many times I said something stupid in the kitchen because I reacted. And then I look over at her and I go, oh, too harsh, too fast, too harsh, too harsh. And I look at her and I go, I am so sorry. I know better. I don't know why I reacted this way. Maybe because I haven't been in the Word like I should today. Because Paul tells us that we need to renew our minds daily. Not just once every Sunday. Daily. Daily. You need to love the Word of God. You need to be all in it. So I wanted to show you guys some things. So this is my very first Bible. My Bible. I slept with this my entire life till I got married. Because that would be awkward and weird at times. That was super funny, and you guys are tired. You guys need to wake up, all right? But this is my Bible. And so I slept with this Bible my entire life, all the way up into college. So for my age group, I remember in college at Marshall University, Real World Road Rules came to the campus, and they were interviewing. And so when they were interviewing, I wanted to be on Road Rules so bad. Heather and Terrence, you're my age. I wanted on Road Rules so bad. Oh my gosh. All right, anyway, it was on MTV. And so I went in there and I was so excited. I was going to interview and they asked dumb questions. They said, what's underneath your bed? And I said, the door to my room. And that lady looked at me and she goes, why? She goes, I said, well, my roommates and I, we declared that we were going to take our doors off our rooms to keep us accountable so we wouldn't have dirty, nasty girls in our rooms. And that person just looked at me, and I was like, and I got a Bible on my bed. And that was the end of my interview. I was so sad. I was like, so sad. The world was rejecting me. I wanted to be in the world so bad, right? The real world. So that was my first Bible. This is my travel Bible. This is the Bible I travel with. I do not travel with this Bible. This is my study Bible. This is one of my Bibles. This is the Bible that I preach with because it has cheat things in it. You're not allowed to look in this Bible. This is my Bible. Do not look in this Bible. It's got cheat things. I love this Bible. You know why I love this Bible? It's for new believers. And even though I know the Word of God, it is always nice to go, oh yeah, that's what the Word of God says. Oh, that's right, that's right. Man, I love it. This is my Bible, all right? Travel Bible. This is the one I'll hike with. I will beat up. I will preach from this Bible from other locations and whatever. And so this is my easy flip. Nothing special to it. It's just a beat up type of Bible. I can throw it in something and it's okay. But I don't want to lose this Bible, because this Bible's got extra things in it. My highlighted, my underlines, all that kind of stuff. Then I got my real study Bible, okay? So this is my Thompson Chain study Bible. This is one that goes deep, and you open it up, it's heavy. So even it's so thick, full of stuff, that actually the print is super small. And so you can see, super small. And it's got all kinds of great reference points and all that. And why do I have that? Because I want to see cross-reference. I want to go different ways. And I want to study that out. Because I don't just stick with one particular chapter, even though I will stick with one particular chapter, but I love to cross-reference, go, oh, Luke said this. Oh, I love this aspect of it all. So you begin to love the Word of God. You begin to want to be a studier of the Word of God. And you go, oh, I want to study this, and you get hungry for it. And you go, I want to know more about this. Why? Because if you apply the Word of God to your life, in just one of instance, whatever it is, you would realize, oh, this is good. Because that's what David's saying. I am worn out waiting for your rescue. I am tired. I can't do this any longer. I am worn out, but I have put my hope in your word. Your word says that you're going to do something. Your word says you'll take care of me. You will refresh me. Your word tells me promises that I can hold on to and say, this is good. This is what I want. So it's important that you recognize having Bibles, having the Word of God around you, that you can open it up and go, okay, you know what? I'm going to study this out. Now, some of you say, I don't know how to just open it up. Do you just flip and go? No. But because we do live in the 21st century, which is wonderful, and be careful, because Googling doesn't just get you to the right place, and don't use ChatGPT. But what's really great is you can actually Google, and there's good references, all right? There's good places you can go, and you can say, all right, I want to know more about this, and insert that, and then say Bible, you know, Holy Bible. Maybe even want to do NIV, NLT, KJV, whatever. You want to put that in there as well to at least get you down to a funnel of, okay, this is from this Bible, not the Jehovah Witness, not the Mormons, okay, not that, but this, okay? So then what happens is you can start referencing and going through there, and you can cross-reference with other different sources. Don't just take that for verbatim of like, oh, this is good. Cross-reference and move on. Learn about it. Study it. And as you start just eating his word, oh, man, you're going to get fed. You're going to know this is good. I know how to react in this circumstance. I know how to handle my coworkers. I know how to handle my boss. I know how to handle my employees. I know how to handle all my situations in life, children, wife, husband, all of those things, friendships, dating. You can find all of that in the Word of God. I had someone, I said this a long time ago, I said, you can find everything there is in the Word of God. And someone said, what about mowing your grass? I was like, wow, that was a really weird thought. And I said, I'm sure there is. Sure enough, there's a scripture in Psalms about keeping your grass at a certain level. Boom. My wife had surgery that required her to go, went through her belly button years ago, and so sure enough, she found a scripture about health in your navel, and she read that scripture over. Last week, I made a comment about how there's ants in my house. No longer, by the way, I killed them all. So, but I talked about Psalm 91 protection, and I know some of you are like, what do you mean by that? When I go to prayer, I go in with God's word. God, I thank you right now. I speak his word over my circumstance. I speak his truth over the lie of the enemy. So when I go into God's word, I say, Lord, right now, I thank you for my house. You have provided my house for me. Lord, I thank you right now. I use the same structure in my prayers I do with the Lord's prayer. So Lord, I go to him with admiration. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I worship you. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are Lord over my house. And so, Lord, I thank you right now that your word says it in Psalm 91. You will protect me from pestilence, insects, bugs. So, Lord, I have declared this house as your house. And, Lord, I thank you that you will give me a creative way to keep these bugs from eating my blessing that you've blessed me with. Do you understand? And so then I start going, okay, Lord, show me. And so thank God for the Parkers and the Kimballs, everybody telling me what I need to buy. So I bought these little things you stick in the yard. It was amazing. Then 2 days, I didn't see any more ants in my house. You're like, you prayed for God's creation to kill, to be killed? That's what some of you are like, yes. I don't know how else to tell you. I don't know. I don't want those ants eating my house. I got to tell you what, when I read the Word of God, I have been given dominion over those things, okay? So don't elevate, everyone always wants to put animals and stuff above man or equal to man. No, they are below me. So the things that I need to protect, they can't be a part of it, all right? Because if you keep going down that road, I'm going to buy you a Black Panther, and I'm going to put it in your house. Tell you how fast you're going to say, Lord, shut that mouth up. Because you don't want to be eaten, all right? All right. Here we go. James chapter 1, verses 16. Some of you are like, man, this guy after Easter, he's crazy. Maybe I am. James chapter 1, verse 16. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven, in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. I want to stop there real quick. He who created all the lights in the heavens. I love Christians who believe in aliens. They're my favorite people. I'm always like, you're like, the word of God says it right here. He, God, created all the lights in the heavens. Blows my mind. When he said, let there be light, it continued. That's why the universes, the expansion is still going. Sound waves continue to carry. We know this by now. They discovered sound waves just carry. That was a big voice. People always try to explain it. Listen, evolutionists, atheists, these individuals who try, you know what? They're believing for a miracle. We don't believe for a miracle anymore. We just know God did it. They're believing for a miracle. This Big Bang theory was a miracle. When I read his word, he created it. I got my answer. I'm not trying to chase down why. No, it was God. God did it. It's good enough for me. I'm done. They're believing for this miracle to take place. Verse 18. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God, the Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. You are refusing to let the world corrupt you. You are following his word. Now, the problem is, a lot of people get real hung up. You go, oh my gosh, this is going to, you know, maybe I don't want to change certain aspects of it. You have to change. You have to change. The word of God will actually cause you to want to change. You're going to be in God's word. You're going to see corrections, okay? It's really important that you humbly accept the truth that confronts you. You have to humbly accept this truth that confronts you and go, this is truth. A lot of people, they'll dismiss it. Not doing it. Can't do it. I'm just going to continue on. But God's truth in his word will transform you. You need to have that transformation. Have to. I love what the pastor out of New York, Timothy Keller, said. He says, if your God never disagrees with you, you might just be worshiping an idolized version of yourself. So true. So true. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. The revelation of this particular group of verses is wonderful. It's the same wind, it's the same rain, it's the same amount of water, it's the same amount of everything. But it goes back to what I said in the very beginning. You're not reacting because you're prepared. When that flood's coming, you know God's word. You have built your foundation on a solid rock. You have prepared. You are ready for the wind. You are ready for the rain. You're ready for whatever comes at you. It does not matter because you have God's word in you. And so when you walk this way, when the liar starts coming at you, the liar's going to try to deceive you. The liar's going to try to chip away at your foundation. The devil's going to try to say all sorts of things to get you off track. He did it in the very beginning. So we see it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And he says this, did God really say that? God really say this? Devil's been out to deceive God's truth and his word since the very beginning. Did God really say this? The devil's always going to have you question. Is God's word real? Is it worth it? Yes. It is 100% real, 100% truth. Is God real? Is it worth it? John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said to them, this is him talking to the Pharisees, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. He is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. You need to belong to God. You need to make that commitment. Those Pharisees were so blinded by pride. They were so blinded by self-gain. They wanted this pomp and stance. And they had this religious way of keeping people down instead of connected. They wanted to be that plug. You gotta take me to plug into God. You needed me to do this. And Jesus came and disrupted that and say, oh, no longer. It's no longer. It's Jesus. And anyone can come to Jesus. When Elijah got into the fiery chariot and dropped the mantle, Elisha picked up the mantle and put it on. He's the new man of God, the new prophet. So what was happening throughout time, even to this day, there's people who try to pull that on a lot of people. It's, I'm the prophet. Now, there are prophets, but I got to tell you right now, there's a prophet, they ain't telling you. They're not walking around, I'm a prophet. No, real prophets don't say jack. They just tell you. They just tell you what's going on with the word of God. Real prophets, they're not all about pomp and stance. But when that mantle fell from Jesus, it fell on all of us. Not just Art. Not just Mickey. All of us. And that's the difference. It's your choice now to pick up that mantle that Jesus dropped, to wrap it around you and walk in that truth. And when those fiery darts come, you know the body of armor, you know the shield of faith. No, 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 I'm not going to allow those fiery darts to come at me. I'm going to pick up his truth. I got my belt on, right? I'm ready to go. I'm not going to sit here and allow the enemy to chip away my relationship, to have me question. Can't do it. We don't have time for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 10. This is beautiful. Beautiful. I'm not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you. Paul. You got to love Paul. So I'm not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you. Though I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while. Now I'm glad I sent it. Not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have. So you are not harmed by us in any way, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Some of us, we put the word at a distance. We put the word at a distance, and we'll come to it on Sunday, and we go, that was good enough. And then we come back over here, and we go, that's good right here. We'll keep it at a distance, because that's going to cause you to have to change some things. It's going to cause you to have to break up with your girlfriend or your boyfriend. It's going to cause you to act differently around the friends you've been acting horrible with forever. It's going to cause some things. So it's uncomfortable. We've been talking about uncomfortable situations. It's uncomfortable. So there's a distance to you. We'll just throw God's word over there. I'll be your doer of his word when it's convenient. So you live in partial truths. But when the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, because you do not have the word living, dwelling inside of you, what happens is you fall victim to the traps of Satan, and then you question God's goodness. And then when catastrophe strikes, you blame God. And God said, I didn't have anything to do with that. James chapter 1. I didn't have anything to do with that. There's testing, but I don't tempt you. I don't come to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10. I came to give you life, life in abundance. That's a contradiction. If I'm here to destroy you, but then also give you life, I'm just puppeteering you. I'm playing with you. That's not what God does. God doesn't say that. God said, I came to give you life, life in abundance. And then I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to live in you, to direct you in that truth. So that when you come to a moment of correction, and he says it, Jesus says, man, you're connected to the vine. You're going to get pruned. There's going to be some moments you're going to be like, oh, that didn't feel good. This is embarrassing. I need to apologize to Terrence because I was a jerk to Terrence. I wasn't, by the way. I'm sorry. And that hurts sometimes to go and eat crow. To say, man, I am so sorry. It's not easy. But people's eternal well-being is at stake. And we as Christians need to have the mantle wrapped around us, his truth, his wisdom, his prophetic anointing. We need to have all around us. Jesus tells us that he's come and we're going to do great and mighty things in his name. He gives us this instruction. This is going to happen. People question it all the time. The reason why people question all the time is because they've pushed the word of God clear over there. Yeah, I don't know about healing. You push it. You question, I don't know about these things. I don't know about that. You should know about it. If you have it wrapped around you, God's word, you're studying it, eating it, loving it, best thing ever, sleeping with it, you'll know his truth. You'll know it. So faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ, Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing. I love what Chris Hodges, pastor down south, says. Don't just read the Bible, let the Bible read you. Don't just read the Bible, let the Bible read you. Let the Bible start confronting those areas of tweaking. I got to fix this. You know what? I don't want to operate this anyway. I don't want to act like this. I'm going to start putting this into practice. Man, I want to be so in tune with God's word. 3 John. It's a beautiful story. I'm wrapping it up here. 3 John, verses 1 through 4. There's only one chapter here. Verses 1 through 4. This letter's from John, the elder. I'm writing to Gaius, my dear friend, whom I love in the truth. Whom I love in the truth. Man, isn't that great? Whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, you know, I have a friend. By the way, I'm going back. I have a friend. I have friends. I have good friends. I have the best friends. And the reason why I can say that is because I know their heart. Right now, I've got a friend who's preaching right now, and I'm not going to test it, but I honestly believe if I called him right now and his phone was in front of him, he would probably start preaching and answer it. That's how close we are. And why is because we have a connection because of Jesus, my friend in truth. We answer no matter what. We've made that vow to each other. We're here for each other in the truth. We are here, whatever it is. I'm here. I'm here to celebrate with you. I'm here to cry with you. When my mom passed away, I called him and I said, my mom passed away. He started crying. And I said, Justin, why are you crying? He goes, you cry, I cry. That's a friend in truth. This letter from John the Elder, I'm writing to Gaius, my dear friend whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are, oh, I love it, as you are strong in spirit. Some of the traveling teachers recently returned and made me very happy by telling me about your faithfulness and that you are living according to the truth. I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth. No greater joy. No greater joy. When you're walking in the truth, your spirit man will be strengthened. When you're walking in the truth, you will manifest signs of spiritual life. When you're walking in the truth, you will be aligned with Jesus. These are your testaments to what you're doing, that you can actually measure and say, all right, is my spirit man strengthened? Or am I always being tossed to and fro? Am I always getting beat up and always in, oh, me? Or am I strong in my faith? Ask yourselves, are you seeing manifested signs of spirit living life inside of you? Ask yourself, am I aligned with Jesus? Am I aligned with this teaching? Am I aligned with his actions and what he's doing? Am I aligned with this? In John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The word of God demands a change of heart that prompts a change of behavior, period. Say it again. The word of God demands a change of heart that prompts a change of behavior. It's exactly what James was saying. Faith without works is dead. You're going to see a change in behavior. You're going to see everything around you change when you say, I'm following Jesus. Here's the problem. Some of you have a hard time inviting people to church. Some of you have a hard time with sharing your faith because you've started believing a lie that you're telling people to follow you. You're imperfect. You're inviting people into relationship with Jesus to follow him. You're imperfect. You don't have it all together, and it's okay. That's why Jesus said that he's working in us, through us, with us. This isn't a all of a sudden, you're just holier than thou. No, this is a process. People need to hear the good news of Jesus. It's not the good news of Dan. It's not the good news of Aaron. It's good news of Jesus. Stop allowing your deficit, your inadequacies, stop allowing your insecurities of pointing people to Jesus. Are you pursuing after him? Are you pursuing after his word? Are you picking up his word? Are you allowing this to change you? Are you allowing to actually not allow CNN, Fox News, ABC, NBC, CBS, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, whatever else there are now, cats, meows? Are you? Because that stuff doesn't dictate who you are. It's Jesus. Allow Jesus to come in and speak to you. Because that's it. That's all that matters. Let's pray.